telling you, folks, we had to engage every exhaust fan here in the bunker far beneath South America to get rid of all that cigar smoke on Friday. But it was worth it. Yeah, it was worth it. But the fans were running for days after that. But, you know, sometimes you just you got to do what you got to do to make it through the bunker experience and see yourself through the remaining days of this eon. We used to say in Pennsylvania that the saints of Paul's day are going to resurrect at the same time with us. And in our mind, we think that we can't wait to get at Paul. You know, I can't wait to talk to Paul. I got a lot of questions to ask Paul. And if you want to talk to Timothy and Titus and all those heroes of faith, oh yeah, not to mention Jesus Christ. But Paul and those guys, they're going to be amazed to see us, to talk to us, because they're going to say, man, you guys were alive at the tail end of the apostasy. You guys were at the bitter end. You had to taste the dregs. Paul's going to tell us, I prophesied about your day. In the last days, perilous periods will be present. Men will be lovers of selves. Women too, I hear. Some of them love themselves. They're going to be, you know, thrashers of parents, haters of children, all these terrible things. And we're living in perilous times. We're in the days prophesied by Paul. Perilous periods are present. Thank goodness for my pop filter with all those peas. And so they're going to be amazed when they see us. Because again, we're being stretched. We're being stretched. So if you're having a hard day, that's why. What does the unveiling mean to God in Christ? It means that God and Christ are finally going to get glory. What does it mean to the saints? It means that the saints are going to get glory. Those who are chosen. Saints are not people who behave themselves. Saint has nothing to do with a moral person. It has to do with the person who is chosen for a purpose. Yesterday, I told you how few are chosen in this day. What it means for the saints is that we're eventually going to get our due. We don't think of this. I know you're very hesitant to think anything about yourself because you've been trained to be humble and not think about yourself. We're always told to think about the glory of God and the glory of Christ. And indeed, they will have great glory. And that's what we're working toward. We're going to burn away the old and we're going to get into the glory of God in Christ. But the saints also are going to receive glory. We're going to be glorified. I spoke about this in Sacramento a few years ago, and it was shocking. I even was shocked listening to myself say it because it seems so politically incorrect to talk about your glory. Oh, Martin, is that all you care about is your glory? Well, yes, I have an incredible investment in my future glory. Yes, I do care deeply about it. I'm not ashamed to say it anymore. I used to be. We are going to have new bodies. But, you know, we have to trade in these bodies for new bodies. Now, what does this mean for mankind at large? Here's what most people think. What is the unveiling of Jesus Christ, the tribulation? What does it mean for mankind at large? It means that mankind's eventually going to get what's coming to him. God's coming back. Boy, is he mad. And he's going to wipe them all out like he did in the days of Noah. Let me ask you this. What happened to those people who were killed in the days of Noah? Out of the 8 billion people, the 16 billion people, what happened to the 15,999,000,000, whatever, minus 8? What happened to them? They're going to stand at the great white throne. How destroyed were they then when they're going to stand at the great white throne to be judged? What does it mean to man, for mankind at large? For this, I am going to read you a passage from A.E. Knox's book, The Unveiling of Jesus Christ. Listen to this. He says this: all creation is about to stage and witness the greatest act in the tragedy of human existence. First of all, I don't mean to laugh at the end, but I like it how he says the tragedy of human existence, because that's what it is. It ain't a comedy. All right? You can go to the video rental place and buy a comedy. And I recommend that you do that. And have a beer while you're at it, like the guy on the bunker door over here. Because you're going to need it to make it through the tragedy of human existence. It's called Man's Day. It's a day designed to be a day of frustration and futility. When none of your plans work out. When nothing you want to happen happens. When all the glory you see some days is a little bit of sun peeking through the clouds. And then if you're in Pennsylvania, the clouds close down quickly and you're back to gray. But let us always remember, I'm back to the book now, that it is only a crisis. Man, listen to this. I'm going to start this again. All creation is about to stage and witness the greatest act in the tragedy of human existence. This is a tragedy, folks. You're living in a tragedy, the tragedy of human existence. But let us always remember that it is only a crisis. The pangs, though sharp, are short. He's talking about the coming indignation of God, which is exercised under the umbrella of his love. He's indignant. Yes, he's clearing the table. Yes, he's going to kill millions of people. Yes, God is going to kill millions of people. That's not very popular teaching, but it's true. God is going to do it through intermediaries. But he's doing it because he's going to bring a new thing. And it's sharp but short, yes. And it's only a crisis. It's only a crisis. A crisis is a change point. As we're going to see, every eon of the five eons, in between the eons, in the seam between the eons, is a major cataclysm, major disruptive event. And so, as I told you last week, not only are we going from eon 3 to eon 4, but we are going from the three evil eons into the two good eons. So it's a double crisis. It's kind of like the double Sabbath that occurred during our Lord's Passion. So this is an incredible pang that's going to bring this about. Though sharp, they're short. Back to quoting the book. It is not the end. I could take a whole show on every one of this man's sentences. It's not the end. The end times. We're in the end times. Only the end of an eon. It's only the end of the wicked eons. It's only the end of Satan's rule on the earth. Isn't that good? But it's going to take one hell of a wrestling match to put Satan down on the mat. Of course, God could bind him in a second if he wanted to. Yeah, I always wondered that. Can I say this? What? Yeah, I have time. Okay. You look at the end of the book of Revelation, and God binds Satan for 1,000 years. You don't read anything about a wrestling match. You don't read anything about there's a vast struggle and Satan, and there was a big match, and Satan's on the ropes, and now God throws him to the canvas. No, wait, Satan's back up, and now he's punching like a, you know, boxing match. It's instant. So if it's so darn easy for God to arrest Satan at the crisis of this eon, why doesn't he do it now? I got a better idea. Why didn't he do it in the Garden of Eden before all this started? Because he needs them. It's only a crisis. The pangs, though sharp, are short. It is not the end. It is but the introduction to God's grand purpose to bless all his creatures. Now, I'm never going to let you forget this. It is not the end. The coming indignation. It is but the introduction, the beginning part of God's grand purpose to bless all of his creatures, all of them, not just some of them, not just the saints. That's why I ask you, what is the indignation? What do the events of Revelation have to do for mankind at large? Again, nobody asks this question either. What's in it for me? Am I going to be saved? Am I going to heaven? That's all Christians care about. Am I going to heaven? I want them to go to the right church and say the right prayer so I can go to heaven. They maybe want to see their family saved, some of them. But it's never about that guy next to you, your neighbor, the hell with him. You know, don't you think Noah had a tear in his eye when that door to the ark closed? And there was all those billions of people ready to die? Yes. Jesus wept as he walked through this tragedy of human existence. You know why most people don't give a darn about it? Because they didn't create these people. What does this time mean to humankind at large. It means that we're getting underway. We're finally getting underway now for God's ultimate goal to bless all of his creatures. The far future is filled with overflowing bliss, as long drawn out as the period of his indignation will be brief. The far future is filled with overflowing bliss. That's what we're going toward. That's going to sustain me to think of overflowing bliss. That's on the horizon. No, Martin, the day of indignation is on the horizon. The crisis of the eons on the horizon. That's the immediate horizon. I told you we're going to start looking through the book of Revelation. Even though we're studying it, we're going to look through it. We're going to look at a time of overflowing bliss. That time is going to be as long drawn out as the period of his indignation will be brief.